Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
If you're injured, how much is your case worth? I'm attorney Mo DeWitt. You never asked to be injured. Don't let the insurance company shortchange you. Injured on the go? Offer too low? Just call Mo. Just call Mo.com. Office, Tampa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to talk about this new movie, Avatar, The Way of Water. Let's go to the best movie critic in all the land, TM Pow. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on? Hey, how impressed are you that Will called out Falling Down? That's a good movie reference.
I thought of that movie as soon as I read that story. And yes, I am very impressed because Will's not old enough to remember that movie.
I just watched it actually a year ago, maybe.
Okay.
It's a great film.
I'll tell you, when it comes about like people just snapping, I mean, that movie is way ahead of its time. It's out like in the mid-90s. And I remember people like didn't know what to think of it because they didn't like, you're kind of, it takes a turn halfway through it. At the first part, you're kind of like, yes, this guy's right. He has a point,
Right.
But yeah. Then it just goes real south quick, and he's way more of a destructive force. But as far as like acting goes, I think that's like one of Michael Douglas's underrated roles. He's fantastic in it.
Yeah, that Absolutely. Was a weird time, too. It was early 90s, I guess, maybe mid 90s. And things were good. That was like the milk and honey days, truly, where, and I guess audiences probably did have what is this guy's problem? Everything's fine. It's great. Now everybody, yeah. I think, would definitely understand and relate a little bit more to this guy in 2022 than in 1992.
And I know it's supposed to be serious, but the scene in the fast food restaurant with the breakfast is hilarious.
Yeah, yes.
It's just so funny, just that how that whole sequence goes down. And then he doesn't even get breakfast at the end. My favorite part of that whole part.
It is true. Great. Yeah, it was, I'm looking it up, it was in 1993. It made $96 million. Pretty good for 1993, not bad. They got a rating of 7.6. Shocker that it did as well as it did, but yeah, you're right. 1993, kind of a good year. That was when, I was in college. I was, a grown ass man in 1993, but, I don't know. Everything seemed to be going okay. I guess we were in we were wrapping up the Gulf War, and stuff like that. And, it was all right. It was good. We weren't quite into the internet yet. We were a few years away from that, so we didn't have that distraction. It was good. It wasn't bad. Yeah, it was a good time.
I was a kid, so it was great for me. It was awesome.
Good for you. Good for you, Will. And we were only, 13 years away from Avatar. So the first one.
It's been forever since we had the last one.
And, I know.
I mean, it's been a while, and I know every time James Cameron does something, it's special. Like, I've said that to people, when they were kind of even being almost dismissive about this movie. I'm like, you do realize, when he does stuff, it's usually pretty big. Titanic, the Avatar, Terminator 2, even stuff like True Lies, Aliens. I mean, Cameron has a really, really, really good track record. I mean, when it comes to making movies, do I wish he would make more? Do I wish I had to wait this long for an Avatar sequel? Of course I would, want him to do more, but this is just the style he goes with. Now, I will tell you, though, that leaves some big expectations because, I know we've had all the Marvel movies since then, but once upon a time, Avatar was the, box office champ. Mm-hmm. Most money out there. Just made a ton of money, changed the way we watched movies. So if you're going to wait this long to do a sequel and come back, you're going to be judged different. Johnny, you understand that, right?
Sure.
This movie's different. You're going to get judged different.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, it changed way. Like, I never saw people really dive into watching the movies in 3D like they did during Avatar and even after Avatar. It kind of started the whole 3D option, IMAX 3D and all that stuff. And I think that's what people liked about it was the visuals, to me, more than the story. I thought the story was Pocahontas, really. But, you know, there's only so many plots you can really you can use without looking like another plot. But the movie visually was stunning. But now every movie is stunning visually. So, like you said, they're going to have to do something above and beyond to get a good rating. What did you think?
Well, I would say that this film is stunning again, even by today's standards. Like you said, it changed it. But, I mean, Johnny, it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, just some of the shots in 3D. I mean, you know, they're using water, which we all know Cameron has, like, kind of an affection for when it comes to, like, Titanic, even The Abyss. You know, he loves water, you know. And, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. Do I think that they spend maybe a little bit too much time of that 3 hour and 10 minute running time with a lot of beauty shots? Yeah, I do. I mean, I think you could have easily trimmed 30 to 40 minutes out of this film. And I really mean that. It's also overstuffed with characters. There are a lot of characters in this film. I think the last one you kind of focused in on that core group. You're meeting, you know, new aliens this time around. There are new characters. Jake Sully's family's grown. So they're trying to do a lot with a whole bunch of different characters, and you're trying to catch up quick. So I do think that hurts the film a little bit, too. But the one thing that James Cameron can do is a third act. I mean, look at all his movies. All his movies have huge third acts. I mean, obviously, Titanic, it's written for him. We know what happens in the third act, but that third act is wild. But let's just take some other films. Aliens. Terminator 2, True Lies, The Last Avatar. He knows how to go out with a bang. So even if you are kind of sitting in some of those beauty shots being like, come on, dude, what are we doing here? You know, we've seen these space whales enough. Let's move on to something. When you get to that third act, it's awesome. It really is. Now, overall experience, it's a good movie. I thought it was good. Does it have problems? Like I said, overstuffed. You know, in terms of characters and even running time, yes, there's no doubt about it. It could have been a tighter film if you went maybe eliminated a couple characters and probably cut down about 40 minutes of the film. But still, it's a humongous spectacle, and it's a James Cameron film. It's worth the price of admission just to kind of kick back in the chair and just watch the pretty visuals. So I'm still recommending it. Is it the same impact and feeling I had when I watched the first Avatar? No, it's not.
Yeah, so it would be like the first Avatar was 2020 Tom Brady, and this Avatar is more 2022 Tom Brady.
No, not that bad. Not that bad. There is a lot of things to enjoy in Avatar.
No, not that bad. It hurts.
I don't want people to come away thinking I didn't like it. That's not the truth. Did I have some problems with it? Yeah. Did I also say I was going to hold it to a higher standard? Of course. I mean, I'm sorry that you're an Avatar film. You were a humongous film, cultural impact. And then, you know, you wait forever to come back and long awaited sequels. Like we always talk about, Johnny, you're setting yourself up for lofty expectations that you can't meet. I will go back to saying this again. That's why I think Top Gun Maverick should be nominated for Best Picture. It defies everything. You know, it defies everything when it comes to that. And that's why I still think that it deserves to be in the Best Picture race. And you saw it got nominated at the Globes. So did Avatar. A lot of other films are in there. But I keep going back to that, you know, thing about the long-awaited sequel for a movie like that. To do what they did to make a better movie than the original, with that legacy, with those expectations, to make just a really, really good and well-made movie, I think that's what that film deserves to be nominated for Best Picture, in my opinion.
There you go. So Avatar dropping right before Christmas. Do we have Christmas Day movies that have any kind of anticipation? I know they're dropping a biopic on us pretty stealthily. I just saw a Whitney Houston movie, and I thought it was an SNL prank when I saw the trailer, but I was like, okay, I think that's a real movie. I don't know what's going on with that.
That's no, like Titanic. I have my screening next Tuesday for that. So, yeah, no, that's a real thing. That's one of the Christmas Day movies. It's another long-awaited sequel. They're, you know, doing another Puss in Boots movie from the Shrek universe. I mean, it's been 8 years since that movie. I mean, kids' movies get pumped out all the time. So I've heard that movie's good, too. You know, I have a screening for that next week, but it's kind of like who really wanted that. But still, you know, you put a kid's movie in the theaters at Christmas, everybody's off. You're looking for something to do. A film like that can do really well. I mean, same thing with Avatar. Avatar is going to do well. For one thing, it's all the tickets are going to have 3D on it. You're going to have a hard right. time probably finding it in standard. You're going to have to see it in 3D. So there's the extra money. If you see it in the Dolby, that's extra money. The only thing that could hurt it is maybe those 3 hour, you know, that 3 hour running time. But let's be honest, Johnny. I mean, Wakanda Forever has been dominating on its own for this last month, basically playing in every theater. I have a sneaking suspicion Avatar is basically, if you go to the movie theaters, it's going to be probably playing at 6 to 7 theaters at a movie theater that would have like 12 theaters. It's going to be that dominant in terms of screen. Right.
Well, there you go. Now, are they going to remaster and show any classic Christmas movies at the theater? I know during the pandemic, like 2020, they did that in, you know, limited time and limited release, like in areas that weren't hit as hard and had kind of lighter restrictions. But I think I would be more apt to like go Christmas Day and watch Elf on the big screen, or watch, you know, Christmas Vacation on the big screen. Do they do that?
Well, I know the Ruskin Drive-In out by us, they're doing Christmas movies right now this time of year. And if all goes to plan, like the weather people are saying it is, it's going to get colder. So, like, you know, sometimes the drive-in can be hot and buggy.
Yeah.
Lots of bugs. That's part of the problem I have sometimes with the drive-in, in, you know, in the summertime. But it's a neat experience, especially if you're going to go see an older movie. So you're not, you know, spending an arm and a leg like you would with Avatar, where you're looking at probably $25 a ticket. You know, to go see it at a normal time where you know, you could go to the drive-in and see Elf and, you know, see Christmas Vacation. So I think they're playing some movies like that. I know Tampa Theater does the same thing as well. But yeah, man, I still like watching Christmas movies this time of year. I mean, it's fun. I was watching Gremlins earlier tonight, which is totally a Christmas movie. Don't know.
Yes. No, it is. So is, why am I brain farting? Yippee-ki-yay, mother. Die Hard is definitely a Christmas movie. But yeah. Oh, speaking of weather, Paul Delgado, I saw yesterday, he has a future cast Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. He said could be the coldest in 30 years. Big cold snap. Big. So hopefully, I know it's going to be chilly this weekend. Rain coming in tomorrow, and then nice and chilly. Lows in the 40s and 50s. So that'll be nice. You know, you need that to get a little Christmas spirit going. I'm out of wedding mode now. Now I'm trying to get fully into Christmas mode. And really enjoy it, and it's a good time for it. The Bucks aren't helping as far as holiday cheer. It does feel like a nostalgic December when it comes to Buccaneer football. I know we always try to talk a little bit about that, but man, you saw that game on Sunday. I didn't. I don't know. You were with me at the wedding. Did you go back and watch it later?
I was with you.
Yeah.
You get married.
Yeah, it was better. But I went back and watched the replay on Monday. I watched at least three quarters of it, and I turned it off. But, yeah, because just like the Whitney Houston movie, we know the tragic ending to that story also. Really, really bad. And, I don't have confidence in this team. Like, they have four more games, and everybody's saying they're still going to win the division and win the playoffs. I don't know they are. I don't know if they'll win another game the way they're playing.
I think they'll be 9-8 and win the division. That's my opinion. I think this weekend's going to be tough. I mean, this is why I thought it was so major that they won the game, not this past week in San Francisco, but the game before that, because I knew they were going to go to San Francisco and struggle. There was no way they weren't going to go to San Francisco and struggle, and no matter who the quarterback was. It's a lot about that defense, and also the San Francisco just run it down your throat. But this Bengals game is going to be tough, too. So I don't have high hopes for this weekend, but I do think they'll probably win the Arizona game, and then I think they'll finish out their divisional games. I mean, honestly, Atlanta's going to start a rookie quarterback. The Carolina game, I know they've had some fluky games, and I'm probably making excuses for them, but I still think that they'll beat Carolina a second time around. I don't know. But even in the San Francisco game, I went back and watched some stuff. I'm not trying to defend them, but it was almost like nothing went their way. And, like, anytime something good happened, we'd get negated and brought back. Or, you know, something would just, you know, it's one of those games where it just all starts to just fall apart on them at once. I mean, that's really what happened with them. You know, I said, you know, there were some weird, funky calls, you know, back. I mean, everyone's ready to throw Donovan Smith out the window now.
Oh, my
now.
God,
I mean,
dude.
I don't know what's going on with him. I do know that he's been really good for us in the past, but obviously something's going on this year, so I hope he turns out of it. But he's had the spotlight on him. Like, I mean, I hate to say this, back like when it was with Kenyatta Walker.
I mean, it's bad.
It's like just like every time. Yeah,
we talked about this Monday. He's leading the league in penalties against him, and he's costing touchdowns. I mean, you had to, you know, what looked like
points on the board. Like was, that's the big thing. Points on
right,
the board.
When I watched that first quarter, and I tweeted this out when I was watching the replay, it was 7-0 San Francisco. And then Brady hits Mike Evans for, 75-yard touchdown. Now, it's about to be 7-7, and the Bucs are going to have a head of steam, all kinds of momentum. And then Donovan Smith, another holding penalty, negates a 75-yard touchdown. What do you think that does to the rest of the team? I mean, the air just completely goes out of the team. And it's big, you know. This guy, one dude, is costing them a lot of points. And I blame the coaches as much as him, because I was telling Will, it's accountability. You think Donovan Smith is going to come to the sideline and face Bruce Arians, you know, with the same kind of attitude if he's committing those kind? Bruce would lose his mind. Like, he would bench him. He would absolutely bench him. I saw him bench a guy in Arizona for taking his parking spot. Like, you just don't mess around. There is no accountability on the team. The coaches just let anybody do whatever they want to do.
Anyone. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they're not afraid of anyone. Yeah, they're not afraid of anyone. That's part of it, you know. And we'll see if they snap out. And listen, if they get in, they get a home game. There's a lot of crazy stuff that can happen. But they got to get in first. But I honestly do think they'll get in. But I think it could be a really ugly get in at 9-8.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Either way, I'm not going to let it ruin my Christmas. I'm just not going to let it do it. Not going to let it do it. You know, we always have 2020, and we always have 2003. They can never take it away. They can never take it away. TM, hopefully we'll get you soon on another one. Give me real quick, before we let you go, your top five Christmas movies. That way everybody knows what they got to go to Netflix, what they got to go to Prime, what they got to do to watch these movies before Christmas Day. They have 11 days to watch these movies. Give me your quick top five best Christmas movies.
Okay, go with Elf. Elf's number one across the board. Everything's awesome in it. Hilarious. Elf's awesome. You're not going to go wrong with Christmas Vacation either.
Yes.
It's a funny comedy. There's a lot of great lines in it. It's, you know, a little racy, but that's good. It's fun. Christmas. You'll like it. Three, you're going with Die Hard. Don't tell me it's not a Christmas movie. Everything in that whole plot, that whole story revolves around Christmas. That is a Christmas movie. Four, you want to go with the staple. It's easy. We're all used to it. We're indoctrinated to it. Christmas Story. Go with that. Five, honorable mention. I mean, honestly, Gremlins. I love Gremlins. You know, give me a little bit of horror with my Christmas. I love Gremlins. But I will tell you, out of the new school stuff, if you get a chance to see Violent Night, Violent Night is awesome.
I heard.
I absolutely love that.
Awesome. Well, TM, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks again for you and your beautiful wife being at the wedding and just enhancing the whole thing. It was awesome. We really appreciated you guys being there. It made us so happy. And hopefully we get you back for another movie review. You said you got a couple good ones you're watching this week coming up. Maybe we can get you back on as soon as we're back on. So we'll see. We got to check the Lightning schedule and vacation schedules and all that. It's Christmas.
I'm attorney Mo DeWitt from the Cat Named Mo Show. Well, I'm the attorney on the show. I'm not a cat named Mo. Anyways, car crash, slip or fall, you know who to call. JustCallMo.com. Injured on the go? Just call Mo. Office Tampa.